Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
It's True Crime Tuesday, everybody, and Thumbs has a beauty for you today. You want to stay tuned for that at 11:30. This is Issel and Louis, ESPN 680 105.7. And as always, the first hour of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. KentuckyTourism.com. Louis, how are you, my friend?
Weird morning, Dan.
No,
everything's fine.
Good? Okay.
So our oldest went to the orthodontist this morning.
Ooh.
So here's adulthood, Avery.
You're going to need a raise, aren't you?
As best I can describe it. So in January, I get a letter from the bank. Congratulations, you own your car outright. No car payments right now. Okay, I'm knocking on every piece of wood in this studio. Next month, kids go to the dentist. Your son needs braces. So he goes today. He goes this morning. And
you know what that sounds like, Louie? Have you ever played the board game, The Game of Life?
Okay.
That's good. So, you draw a card, kidneys, braces.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And so, yeah, and I'm the guy that keeps landing on congratulations, you had another kid too, right? I mean, that's, you know, game is actually very emblematic of my life. So, he goes this morning. Actually, this year, not the year for braces for him. He needs to wait a year. So I'm actually 1 year dodging a bullet. 1 year.
Wait, 2 months.
Yeah, no, I know. Oh, no. I've already been told our first and our third are going to need them. I don't know if our second son will need them. But the other part, of course, is, and I've talked about this on the show, our oldest is autistic, and he's got his social stuff is coming out more and more as he becomes a teenager. And so this morning was very not good for him. Because he did not want to miss school. And the appointment was during science, I learned. I had no idea he had science first thing in the morning. Now I know. And so we had a very, very disappointed child who did not want to go to the orthodontist because he was going to miss science class. Did you tell my teacher I'm not going to be there and all these things? And so it's been a very up and down morning, Dan. So there you go.
Now he had to be excited that he didn't have to have braces for another year, didn't he?
I don't know. You know, so many kids get them now. I think kids just kind of assume they're going to have to get them. Did you have them, Avery?
I did. I had them in high school, and I will say I was very angry because I got mine off the week after graduation. I was so annoyed.
That's pretty unfair.
I must have had a reaction or something to the metal they used because my gums were so swollen. So when they sized me for my retainer, I could only wear it for like a week because then my gums were back to normal.
Yeah.
And it was... I had opinions, but also the entire time I had them, basically, I had the same exact hygienist. She was great. We did have to kick one lady out, though.
Is this why you're so murderous? Is because of your braces?
No, I'm related to my mother.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. Her name's Avery Dill. It is Dill Day on Tuesday here. Already got her coffee. I got to see Sandra this morning, Dan, the actual owner of Red Hot Roaster. She's not usually there on Tuesday, so that was nice. We chatted it up in the old drive-through line today. And so if anyone's looking for a job, head over to Lexington and Payne. Go work for Sandra because it's a great place to work, and I can't believe she's having so much trouble getting people to go work there. But lots of opportunities over there. Anyways. So there you go. That's the start of my day, Dan.
That's just a sign of our times.
Oh, I think that's part of it too. Yeah,
work any place.
So, yeah, and there's lots of work with her too. I mean, either roasting or working the drive-through or out at the fairgrounds. I mean, there's tons of stuff to do. So, absolutely, go hang out with Sandra over there. So there excited though. I got my iced coffee. Avery's got her her latte, and so she's dancing as well, which is good.
I am. This is going to get me through a very crazy day.
There you go. We'll talk Lamar today. We'll talk Kentucky's roster for next year. I've got a question for Dan. And then I will do a Raising Cane's read today.
All right.
And so we'll have all of that.
Get that music ready, Thumbs.
It's already in the system.
Oh, man. All right, so Dexter, now we're getting the braces text. Here we go. Dexter, growing up, I wanted braces so bad that I was jealous of anyone who had them. You know, it's interesting because it is a... is it a status thing?
I don't know. Both of my oldest grandchildren had them.
Okay. I never had to have anything. I'm really lucky that way. I think eventually I'll have to get something put in to stop my teeth from moving too much or whatever. My wife has one that sits on the back of her bottom front teeth to stop those from moving at this point. But she also had, oh my gosh, my wife had everything when she was a kid. So, you know, I just don't know. For some reason, I've never had to have anything. I shouldn't say that. I have, like, the sealants on my molars, and then I had to have my wisdom teeth out, so I guess that counts as something.
Yeah.
Do you remember having your wisdom teeth out, Dan?
I do. I do. And the reason I remember, and this is, I hope nobody's eating breakfast, but I had all four of mine out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember driving home with my dad and telling him to pull over.
Oh, yeah.
And I lost my breakfast on the side of the road because of all of the, you know, they put you under. I remember that very well. I didn't have to have braces, though, Louie. I bought my plastic teeth straight.
So. I guess my mom still talks fondly about my experience getting my wisdom teeth out because apparently it was the kindest I've ever been. We're driving home, and all I did was spend 20 minutes thanking my mom for driving me to and from the dentist.
Meanwhile, I wake up during my surgery.
And this is... Of course you did.
I did.
Of course.
Of course, they had to put me under. Mine were severely impacted. One of them was, like, millimeters from the nerve, if it wasn't already touching the nerve. And then, like, I just start coming to mid-surgery. My jaw's like, ah... And I feel
I'm really glad no one else just saw her face when she did that. That was horrific, and it should never be replicated. Frankly, that should substitute for True Crime Tuesday. I don't ever do that again.
Yeah, I could feel it was a weird face, but I could feel the drilling, and I started talking.
Oh no!
And they're just like that's not supposed to happen.
All right, I have a story like this. So if people don't know, my brother got leukemia when I was a teenager, and I was the bone marrow donor. And I was too young to give, technically too young to give bone marrow by a couple years. Excuse me. And so I go in, and this is back when they still did the extraction from your hip bones.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put me out. They're doing surgery, and I wake up during the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't feel it, except that it's such a violent surgery that, like, your body moves. So I can feel, like, a side-to-side shake as they're, like, drilling holes into my hip bones to get the bone marrow out. And all I hear the doctor say is that bleeping kid awake? Put the bleeping kid back down. And I get it. I get it. I look back on that. I remember at the time thinking... that's so mean. Now I look back and I'm like, no, I get it. I get it. He's literally sawing bone. He doesn't need me awake now.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing to wake up during surgery if you've never done it. So cool. So cool, yet so weird.
Oh, Tuesdays. Oh, man. All right, so Xavier Wheeler's leaving, Dan.
Yeah. He will be the first of many. As I said, the night they got beat by Kansas State, Cal said he didn't imagine any seniors coming back, which meant Cal didn't want any seniors coming back. And so Sabir's just the first one. There will be more to follow. I imagine the only player that got any sizable playing time that he wants back is Livingston.
I agree with that.
I don't think he wants any of those other people back. I mean, with what he's got coming in for next year, you know those kids are going to play.
Wheeler's attractive to a lot of teams, right?
Yeah. I mean, he led the SEC in assists for 2 years in a row. You know, I've always had a problem with his decision-making, and he gets out of control at times. But no, he gets the ball to the right people. I mean, I can see him being highly recruited out of the transfer portal.
Yeah, I wonder with him, if you put him in a team with a legitimate offensive system that runs sets, that does, you know, whatever it is that they're going to try to run.
That Kentucky doesn't do.
Well, no, that's right. And frankly, you know, not something that's just, oh, we run a motion offense or whatever that is, right? No, we run sets. If there's actual sets, I think he can be a really valuable player, frankly.
You know, that's a great point. Because of his decision-making, Louis, or lack of decision-making, a set offense would work much better for him where he doesn't have to decide where to throw the ball. The play dictates where he throws the ball. That's a great point.
Yeah, and so if you can take some of that out of his hands, where he doesn't have to think about that, what he has to think about is, okay, this is where I need to be. This is where the next player is going to roll off of a screen, or he's going to whatever it is. I think he could really flourish in a system like that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a ton of options. I really do.
He still can't shoot, which, you know, you look at the point guards.
Hey, Dan, I just watched two teams in the Elite Eight that couldn't shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's college basketball, man. I mean, so, no, I'm not worried about that part of his game. He is a high-energy guy who I think if you put in the right spot, especially in a system where, like you said, take the decision-making out of it, largely out of his hands, and force him into a spot where he's not having to think about spacing, right, where the spacing is built into the system. He can be pretty good, man. I really do think that.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where Oscar winds up. I don't, it's not going to be the NBA, and I don't know if teams would even want him in the G League. I'm thinking because he was National Player of the Year, and we've talked about this before, the money has dried up somewhat in overseas basketball. It's not nearly as big as it used to be, but I could see him getting a pretty good-sized contract for some team in Europe. I'm anxious to see what happens to him.
Do you think Sabir Wheeler was actually hurt this year?
Yes. Okay. I think he was hurt.
Do you think there was an actual surgery?
Well, I don't know what it was. I mean, they said a minor procedure. I don't even, you know, who knows what they were talking about.
Do you think
about?
They could say, like, he went to the dentist and that was a minor procedure?
Well, sure.
Like he got
they
a
floor.
He got
his wisdom. Could have had his wisdom teeth.
No, like he gets a fluoride treatment and that's a minor procedure, you know, like.
But saying that, Louis, I think that he was real slow. Well, not slow. He didn't. I think if his season was going better, he would have come back at the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I think he was hurt initially. I think that led to, yeah, I'm just going to sit over here and watch.
Texter, UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. Sabir was butthurt and not like Louis was with his tailbone. Yeah, no, that's right. It's different. Yeah, it's different. Yeah. Oh, man. That's another one. Like falling on your tailbone playing hockey and then having to go to school the next day. Oof.
Those chairs aren't comfortable.
Do not recommend.
When you're not in
pain. I'll tell you, man, that is something my kids have that I did not growing up that I am super jealous of. A lot of them get, like, the exercise balls to sit on now or, like, movable chairs. Because I was an ants in the pants kid for sure. And I would have benefited greatly from not sitting in, I mean, just, were they made out of stone? I feel like I sat in stone growing up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they were. Like, can I go be a child again? Like,
so,
I was
so
nannying during COVID, and all of the work they were doing online, it's just like, I'm going to go be a child again.
I feel bad for kids that way, though, because kids can't be sick anymore. They don't get snow days anymore. That actually bothers me. If it snows, a kid should be able to go sledding and not have to get out his computer and sit down and go to school. I don't like that at all.
So did you have one of those inflatable donuts you had to sit on, Louie?
After the surgery, I did, yeah. I did. Yeah, yeah. It was not great. Luckily, the surgery was during the summer, so I didn't have to go back to school after the surgery.
Oh, so you didn't have to sit in school.
No, so that was good.
So we were talking about Wheeler.
Yeah.
Where do you think some of these other people wind up?
I don't know the answer to that. And he's to me the most interesting because, again, like I said, I think programmatically, systematically, if he goes to the right place, he ends up being a very good player. Like a guy like Reeves, would you want him back at Kentucky, Dan?
No.
Okay. Obviously, you don't want Frederick back, I assume.
No, I think CJ and Blair ought to get married. And by the way, I have some advice for CJ.
Okay.
I read that he said that he was going to get together with his family and discuss what he was going to do going forward. At this point, you're engaged now, CJ. You don't talk to your family. You talk to Blair. And you two decide what you're... No, they need to get married and forget basketball and go on with the rest of their life and be happy. He doesn't need... I mean, what, he played 5 years of college basketball, and I think he was hurt. He missed two complete years and was hurt every other year. You know, be healthy and go do something else. And the reason I said I would not want Reeves back is, you know, and there were games that Reeves won all by himself. Let's not forget that. But when you can only do one thing to help your team win, which was certainly the case with him, and then you have games where you can't do that one thing, you become a liability real quick. And again, here's another guy that's, what, 23, 24 years old?
How do you feel about Blair? Do you feel good for CJ?
Absolutely. Good decision there, my man. He's not marrying a girl as good looking at Kentucky as I did, but he's close.
There you go. Yeah. your gap a little wider than CJ's is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes. Is she awake yet? Or are we just...
Yeah. Oh, okay. We have a dear friend who's going through chemo.
Okay.
And so this is her day to take Barbara to chemo. So she was up early this morning.
Do they have chemo at chemo?
No.
That might be a good idea. Play some numbers.
Yeah. Keep you entertained.
Keep you entertained. Yeah. Numbers hit. A little good news on a Tuesday. Speaking of good news, Louisville baseball at Cincinnati tonight, 5:50 on 93.9. And on the app, and then the NIT semifinals between all the great schools we talked about the other day. 6:45.
Yeah, there you go.
7 o'clock tip here on ESPN 680, 105.7. And on the app, of course. So check those things out. All right. Well, what do you think? There are no freshmen playing big roles in the Final Four this year, Dan. And Kentucky is going to go ahead and turn over their roster and rely on freshmen next year.
Mm-hmm.
So this Final Four is interesting to me. And this is the question I wanted to ask you. So lots of trends were bucked this year in the Final Four, obviously. 9 seed, 5 seed, 5 seed, 4 seed being the biggest one. A school like Florida Atlantic with a 2,800 seat, you know, basketball arena. San Diego State, which I don't think of.
I think they play their games outdoors.
Right. they're on a boat for their games, you know, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. And even a Miami, I get it. Larrañaga is a good coach, but you know, it's not a place that we think of as a basketball spot. And then you get UConn. Right. And I said in the lookie, you know, is this Final Four UConn and a bunch of dudes, but you're getting, it's the transfer portal that seems to be the thing that's driving these schools. Do I need to think about the incoming freshman class as just it's a transfer portal essentially from high school to college? Does that make sense?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
And I think that they're going to be successful, they're going to have to go out. I mean, if they've got five kids coming in.
Yeah.
They've got, let's assume Livingston comes back.
Okay.
They've got three coming back. I think the other spots they have to fill with grad transfers out of the portal, older guys. There's a thought, Louie, that NIL and the transfer portal have led to this Final Four that we have right now. And as you said, there is not one player left in the Final Four that was a McDonald's
right.
All-American.
That's a good point, too, yes.
Not one. There is, of all of the players in the Final Four, there's one, the Hawkins kid, Jordan Hawkins from UConn, is the only player in the Final Four that's projected to be a first-round pick, and he's at the very end. So the one thing that you can look at here that is a positive isn't a transfer. Well, I guess it is a transfer portal, but all of these guys are 23, 24 years old.
Right.
Half of the guys in the Final Four are these super seniors that have been in college for 5 or 6 years. So you've got to recruit. You've got, I know it's a down year, but you got to go out. You got four kids.
Absolutely.
That are playing in the McDonald All-American game tonight.
Yep.
And Dillingham would have been a fifth, but since he went to the Elite League, he's ineligible to play in the McDonald's game. So you would have had five players. You've got to do that. You've got to recruit. But Cal better go out and get three or four guys that he can intersperse with these kids to give them that, because that, it looks like to me, that's where the game is going. You've got to have some of these. And in a couple of years, when, you know, all this COVID extra year and all that stuff, when that all cycles out, you'll be back to kids that can only play 4 years. And I think the transfer portal will settle down a little bit after that. But you better have a combination of both. If you think you're going to go to the Final Four starting these five kids that are coming in this coming season, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it as well. And so it does seem, and just having gone to the game on Sunday, here at the Yum Center, that it was considerably more about the approach the teams had. So San Diego State with their defense, Creighton with how they move the ball on offense, the pick and roll style that Creighton plays. Then it was about how good the players were, because they weren't. There was no transcendent talent on that court. Period. I mean, no one stood out. No one. It was stunning, Dan. I mean, Elite Eight game, there was no star.
Yeah, you're right.
And so that's where I get it. It's a single elimination tournament. It's hard to predict, you know, if you could win four games in a row, five, six games in a row, whatever it looks like there. And it seemed so much more even than usual for college basketball, which is like this more than any other sport that we follow. It mattered who's coaching and what the system is, even more this year than ever.
Well, look at the Final Four. Theoretically, and underline and put in quotes theoretically, 15 of the top 16 teams in college basketball aren't going to play this weekend.
Right.
You have one four. There's no ones, no twos, no threes, and one four. So theoretically, 15 of the best teams, seeding-wise anyway, are not in the Final Four. And you don't have, as you said, There aren't any, you know, and you said it before, Louie. We like our Cinderella stories. We like those upsets the first weekend, maybe the second, maybe one team in the second weekend. But we like it when you get to the final. Like last year, the final four was North Carolina, Duke, Villanova, and Kansas.
Yep.
That's how we like our final
Correct.
Fours. We don't, you know, this, and there's an article on here about, you know, is anybody going to watch this? And I think that's a great question.
It is a great question.
San Diego State or Florida Atlantic is going to be in the championship game. And UConn has won their four tournament games by an average of 22.5 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think it's going to take a huge, huge upset. I know they're favored by, what, 9 points, 9.5 points against Miami. I'm going to guess if they beat Miami, I'm going to guess they're favored by 15 points over whoever comes out of the other side.
UConn is a 5.5 point favorite over Miami.
That's all?
Yep.
I thought I saw 9.5.
And San Diego State, it's 149.5 is the over-under. Maybe that's what you saw. And San Diego State is a 2-point favorite. I would not have San Diego State as a favorite in that game.
Yeah, no.
But that might be, what's the best way to describe this? That might be a visual bias from having watched them play, and it's just, it's
awful game.
It's just, it's sluggy basketball.
Yeah,
it's
and as we talked about yesterday with, what was his name, Theo? The guy that covers Florida Atlantic?
Theo Dawson.
Yeah. You know, they're Florida Dorsey, Atlantic has, they have a lot of pluses. They have a big guy that can play, which not too many teams in college basketball have anymore. And they have a 9-deep rotation.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so I agree with you. Having watched the games this past weekend, I would pick Florida Atlantic all day long.
In that game, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I'm with you. I do wonder, and I brought this up yesterday, if this is where a bunch of upsets happen in the prep races for the Kentucky Derby and you have Forte who just keeps winning, and that's UConn, and it's just UConn and a bunch of dudes in the Final Four. I do wonder if that's what we got.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Speaking of UConn and a bunch of dudes, we'll get to Lamar Jackson. Of course, famously, it's Lamar Jackson and a bunch of dudes, and that was completely correct analysis from Booger McFarland a few years ago. We'll talk about landing spots for him and if he's doing the right thing finally. Interesting comment this morning on Diener's show that he had to act like an agent yesterday, and so he had to go be the heel for a day because he does not have an agent. Of course, True Crime Tuesday, we'll get to that at 11:30. And Dan mentioned the McDonald's game. I want to talk about Reed Sheppard a little bit because I think Kentucky's in a bad spot having Reed Sheppard come to their school.
Really?
I do. First hour of the show presented by our friends at, how about that for a tease? Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. If you are planning your spring or summer vacations, make sure that you start there. All the great parks around the state, all the golf, all the bourbon trails, all of the dining, find all of it at KentuckyTourism.com. Follow them on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, all those spots. Great pictures from around the state, a beautiful state that we have here in the Commonwealth. On the other end, Reed Sheppard, a tough spot for Kentucky. We talk about it next.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back. And as the man just told you, this segment is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground, this is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. Com.
A reminder, we are your exclusive radio play-by-play home in Louisville for the NCAA tournament, including this weekend's Final Four and Monday's National Championship. Saturday, we'll start at 3:30 here on 680-1057, and on Monday, we'll have the same coverage at 6:30 on ESPN 680-1057. And on the app for all of the games this weekend, very cool. 93.9 will join after baseball on both days, one of them a baseball game and one of them the Dan McDonald Show. Again, Louisville baseball today, 6 o'clock over on 93.9 The Ville, as well as they travel up to Cincinnati to play the Bearcats. So there you go. A little Bearcats on a Tuesday, Dan. There you go. All right. Well, I teased that I think Reed Sheppard's actually going to turn into a problem for Kentucky.
Yes.
And cool article.
I mean, I don't agree with you, but yes, that's what you said.
Correct. cool article at the Herald Leader, too, by the way, about him being a rare player who is from Kentucky and plays in the McDonald's All-American game. And frankly, Dan, part of that is many of our very best high school basketball players around here go the prep route, essentially, right? So they leave the area, they go to Indianapolis or Florida or whatever they do. Excuse me. And so, you know, congrats to him, obviously, and very famous son of alums that had very, you know, distinctive careers at Kentucky. So I think there's two things about Reed Sheppard that are going to be a problem. Three.
Okay.
First is that pedigree, right? So the expectations for the kid are going to be really, really high. And I think there's a chance that he is a very average college basketball player.
Okay.
Second, people are going to want him to play because of his name. And maybe ahead of other people. And I think they're going to get some clamoring amongst the fans for wanting him to do that. And then there's the third part of it. He's a white kid from Kentucky. And I think that's something that people do care about because they look and they see a kid that looks like them or looks like their grandkid or whatever it is. And it really matters to them when, in fact, he should be maybe the seventh or eighth guy off the bench they want him starting. Why isn't Reed Sheppard starting? What's going on with that? And I think he is unfortunately set up for failure going to Kentucky unless he turns out to be just an absolutely stunningly great player.
Who was the guy from Kentucky that just transferred to
Dante
Western?
Allen.
Yeah.
I worry he's another Dante Allen.
You're putting him in the Dante Allen category.
I am putting him in the Dante Allen category.
Yeah.
With a different last name.
And you may be... Yeah, you may be right. Here's something I would put in the equation that might prove you wrong.
Okay.
And that is this kid has he's already experienced being the son of two former UK players. He's been through that his entire high school life. And I read some place where his coach said he has been through 99.9% of stuff other people will never experience. And he had a funny line. He said they'd go, you know, on road trips, and the student section would heckle him and be on him unmercifully. He said, and then after the game was over, they'd line up to take a picture with him.
Hmm. Yeah, of course.
So he's had that kind of pressure on him. The other thing I would say, Louie, is this isn't just another kid from Kentucky. This is a kid who has gone on the national stage. He's played in three or four of these super tournaments. The City of Palms down in Florida.
Yep.
The Pink's thing. Here in Louisville, and has done extremely well. He's held his own against some of the better kids. We'll see what happens tonight. I'm really anxious to watch the McDonald's game tonight. But you may be right, but there are some things out there that might prove you wrong.
Yeah, no, if, like I said, and Texter are pointing out, if he's a great three-point shooter, that's probably his best route to playing time. Could not agree more. It's going to have to be scoring for him that gets him on the floor and get him the most amount of playing time is going to be scoring. No question. Because that's what he's good at, and that's fine, and that's great.
Yep.
But one of my favorite things about this job is that it's okay to be wrong. People will make fun of you. They will text you and they will whatever else. That's fine.
Sure. But we don't have to read those texts.
No, but at the same time, like in this case, I would love to be wrong. I would love for Reed Shepard to show up and drop 18 a game next year. That'd be great. Because then we'd actually have a good team around here to cover.
The thing that's interesting, this game started in 1977. Mm. And in that time, there's only been 15 kids from Kentucky to be in the McDonald's game. And there hasn't been anybody since 2011. Ugh. And that was some guy that went to U of L that I didn't even recognize his name. I don't know who that was. Only 4 of the 15 have come from out in the state. The other 11 either played in Lexington or Louisville. And so he's only the 4th kid since 1977 to come from out of the state. And the only other name I recognized on here was Rex Chapman.
Do you really not remember Shane Bohannon?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. All right.
Was he good?
Yeah. He was incredible. Really? I mean, they don't win a national title without him.
Really? Yeah. I didn't pay much attention. By the way, I don't believe they did win the national championship.
I said they don't win the national title with him.
No, I don't think they did. Last time I was in the Yum Center, I didn't see a 2011 banner.
A lot of people agreeing with me on the text line about Reed Shepard, but Shane Bohannon was obviously from Bowling Green, played at Bowling Green High School. So it was the last one. But that's, I mean, it's an incredible gap, and it points to, it's really not being from Kentucky and having moved here. It is the one of the stranger gaps in sports here is that we care so much locally about college ball, but the high school ball is not up to the snuff of the college ball at all. Like, we put way more guys in Major League Baseball and in golf than we do in the NBA, for example.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
But still, but that doesn't take away from the fans showing up and the people really appreciating high school basketball.
No, I think that's right. But for example, like Indiana high school basketball is really excellent. And it's been excellent for generations, right? And you know, do you remember when the COVID NCAA tournament where they played it all at one place? Do you remember that? And they played it at, you know, all in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a suggestion that they play it at the high school gyms in Indiana, and they showed the pictures, and it was like, holy crap. Every little town has a Taj Mahal to basketball, you know? And I don't feel that with high school basketball in Kentucky. I do not get those vibes.
Okay. All right.
And that's me having lived in Bloomington and taught in Greencastle. I'd stop in, you know, in lots of different towns on the way up to eat lunch and different things. And so it had a different feeling in those towns than it does here, for sure. So, and frankly, I think I'm proven right by the fact that, you know, Reed is the first guy to make the game since Shane Bohannon in 2011. So
you're right.
But there you go. So I do think
good luck to him tonight.
Well, and going forward, frankly, again, I want to be really clear about these things. I think he's got an extra hill to climb as a legacy kid, but please do it, because I want to cover a good basketball team while I'm doing this.
Yeah. You know, and my point was he's already been climbing that
hill. I think you're right.
And I don't think if he doesn't hit it big at UK, it'll be because he's not good enough at basketball. It won't be because of his last name.
Yeah, no,
that's what I think.
Sure. I think that's a reasonable, that's a reasonable take for sure. All right.
Yeah.
Issel and Louie here taking you up until noon. Bobby V after us. First replay, 3 o'clock here on ESPN 680-1057. Andy in today. He'll be traveling tomorrow. He'll be at the Final Four for us later in the week. So, Dan, you and I need to be ready in case Andy's able to get us some guests and different things to jump on the show with us live. So we're going to be
great
playing Audible down there, and I appreciate Andy making the trip to Houston for us. All right, so Final Four, looking through here. Let's do the NBA stuff. We'll do Lamar Jackson at 11. I'm sure everyone remembers a couple of years ago when the whole world was convinced that the Eastern Conference in basketball would never get good again in the NBA. And we need to go to a model like the NFL or like Major League Baseball, where it's not based on geography. It's based on, you know, just spreading teams out as far as, you know, who's in what conference.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's an article on The Athletic about the Central Division. Just the Central Division with Milwaukee, Cleveland.
Not even Philadelphia or Boston. Just the Central Division of the East. Yeah, and you know, this article makes a good point. I don't think Cleveland is there yet.
Right.
Although they've had a spectacular year, and adding Mitchell has certainly helped their cause.
That's an underrated great trade this year.
Yes.
Because people kind of downplay, oh, he's just a scorer, they don't need that, da-da-da, and it has worked out. Absolutely flying colors, passing grade for sure.
What are they 20 games over 500? I mean, they've got a phenomenal record.
Yeah, they're great, man. They really are.
I'm going to look that up. But anyway, I don't think, you know, they might be a year or two away.
Cleveland is 48 and 28. You are correct.
Yeah, yeah. So I wouldn't say they were a contender. But they're, I mean, Milwaukee certainly is.
No question.
If they can stay healthy, they might be my pick to come out of the East. So there's no question. But you're absolutely right. That pendulum swings back and forth, and sometimes it takes longer to swing than other times. But the East is really tough right now. One thing, now that we're talking about the NBA. One thing that I wrote down, because it caught my eye last night as I was going around the dial. Here are former UK players, Louis, and what they scored last night. just last night, former UK players. Jamal Murray had 19. Of course, the Nuggets played Philadelphia in Denver without Embiid and without Harden. And Jokic had another triple-double. But Murray had 19. Booker for Phoenix had 24. Julius Randle for New York had 26.
Sheesh.
Fox and Maxey both had 29. And Quickley had 40. those are six former UK players. 19, 24, 26, 29, 29, and 40. And we haven't won a national championship since 2012? What the world's going on here?
It's a fair question, Dan. It is a fair question. I was not prepared when I brought up realignment in the NBA to talk Cal underperforming with the players that he's had, but here we are. So what gives you hope for next year then, if you bring that up? What gives you hope for next year?
You know, I had a good friend who texted me yesterday that lives in Lexington and asked me the exact same question. what gives hope? I guess... and I heard Rummage say it earlier on Diener's show. He said, you know, looking at the Final Four, he said, why can't Louisville make the Final Four next year? I mean, I guess you look at this Final Four and there's hope that anybody sure can make the Final Four. So I guess, sure, I guess that's where you start. You know, and then you go to the recruiting class. And you know, they got four guys in the top 10 coming out of high school. You can fill that up. If Livingston comes back, I think he'll have a big year. And you can, you know, put some people around him out of the transfer portal. But you know, I guess that's what gives you hope that, you know, I would say with that recruiting class, you've got a little leg up on just about everybody else, depending on who gets whom out of the portal. But I guess that's what gives you hope for next year.
Okay. Yeah. It's really fascinating. Texter asking, Dan, would you want to play with LeBron? It looked like Anthony Davis was actually playing better with LeBron gone. Does he help or hurt the Lakers at this point, do you think?
I said that last week.
Yep.
I said last week that the Lakers are playing better right now without LeBron than they were playing with him. He comes back for the first game in, what, 3 weeks? And they lose. So, no, I agree with the texter.
Do you know who LeBron is now? He's Oscar. He's Oscar.
Ooh.
He's a limited version of himself. And you can win with him, but you can't win big with him. That's who LeBron is now. They're very similar that way. Otherwise, I know they play very different styles. They play very different, positions, whatever.
And let's not lose sight of him being, one of the greatest. I wouldn't
Both
say
of them.
The greatest.
Both of them, all time greats. You don't win National Player of the Year unanimously by accident. In Oscar's case, you're not LeBron James and people make fun of his finals record, but you don't make the finals that many times by not being great, for sure.
No, you're Absolutely. Right. Yes. You're right. But right now, neither one of them have anything to show for.
Yeah.
And so, I just hope, and I have a problem with this, guys sticking around longer than they really should. I don't know what else LeBron can do to add to his legacy.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's got the championships. He's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the NBA. Don't stick around where people are bringing up the discussion that your team's better off without you than they are with you.
So we've had the discussion about expanding the NCAA tournament to 80 teams and just how bad it would be. Jim Phillips, of course, talking about Clemson and North Carolina needing to be in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
The NBA went to these.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Check with the sports department over at U of L and see when they're going to get that think tank together. I'm real interested in that think tank.
They expanded the NBA playoffs to 10 teams on both sides. How many teams do you think are under 500 right now, Dan, that would make the playoffs if the season ended today?
And you're talking about 10 in each with a play-in game?
Yes.
I'm going to say I'm going to say 5.
It is 5, exactly. The Hawks, the Raptors, the Bulls, the Lakers, and the Thunder. And I just stop expanding playoffs, people. Stop it. Stop. It's bad.
Well, they did that in the NBA to stop tanking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's and you don't. I've said this before. You don't have to worry about the players tanking, and probably not the coach. It's the front office that wants you to tank, like they did in Indianapolis and Utah. They trade away all their players for draft picks, hoping they tank, and then the Pacers have a pretty good year with nobody on the team. And so, but the players aren't tanking, and for sure, and the coaches probably aren't, because, losing records gets you fired. But that's why they expanded it to 10 games, only 10 teams in each division. But you're absolutely right. We don't need more. We need less, if anything.
Proud of my Pistons, 43 games under 500. Worse than the
they
Rockets.
Got a shot.
Coming for you, Vic. Coming for you, Vic.
They got a yep.
Brick it away. They're so what, bad. Dan, they're terrible.
Becomes a, who was the guy? Who was the guy that they drafted?
Darko Milicic.
Yeah. He was. Now, he didn't quite have the reputation that the Brick has,
right.
but he was thought to be pretty good, and they got him with the second pick, and he couldn't play dead. Wasn't that Carmelo Anthony's year?
Oh.
Didn't they pass on Carmelo?
Oh.
Am I right?
Oh, Dan. So you are remembering properly that they passed on Carmelo Anthony, who went third. Chris Bosh went fourth. Dwayne Wade went fifth. David West went 18th. Josh Howard went 29th. Mo Williams went 47th. Even Kyle Korver, who's considerably better, went in the 50s. I mean, dude, they passed on TJ Ford, who was a nice player that year. He went 8th. Nick Collison went 12th. He would have been better. Luke Ridnour, of course, went in the top 15 of that draft. Reese Gaines, of course, out of Louisville, went 15th in that draft. Oh, no, it's a whole thing, man. That is an all-time LeBron, Carmelo, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, all in that draft, and they went with Darko Milicic.
Yeah, I remember people in Denver were praying that they would take Milicic.
Oh yeah,
so they could get Carmelo.
Now, what's interesting is they win the title that year, right? They win the title that year, 2003-04. I don't know if they win the title if Carmelo's on the team.
I
think Larry Brown tries to overuse him or something if he's on the team. And they discovered early on Darko was not going to happen.
And Carmelo, in his prime, Carmelo was the ultimate ball stopper.
Correct.
I mean, you threw it to Carmelo, you might as well head down to the defensive end because you ain't getting it back. That's
now,
for sure.
Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade or something like that, that would have been a good pick. That would have been great. But Carmelo on that team with Rip Hamilton, especially the movement that they played on that team, would not have been good. That ball stopping would not have been good. And I'm a Carmelo fan. I like him a lot. I think more than the average basketball fan. Because especially...
Yeah, what do you like about his game? He never won.
Do you know what I like about him? What he did for USA basketball. That team got really bad in the 2000s, and he showed up every Olympics after that and made sure that that team was as good as it was going to be. He played his best ball on the Olympic team. And for me personally, I don't know why I care about that, but I do, and I just appreciate what Carmelo did for USA basketball. That's it. Mm. As a pro, take it or leave it in the Nuggets and the Knicks and whatever else. But with USA basketball, I really appreciate it. So there you go.
Fair enough.
So, because that team it was embarrassing for a long time. Remember like those Iverson teams and whatever else and bronze medals and blah, blah, blah. And like there's no excusing any of that. And then guys like Carmelo and LeBron, frankly, you know, got back in there and really made sure that that didn't happen again. And I appreciated that. So there you go.
Good point. Good point.
I don't know why I care about USA basketball, but here we are.
You know what I just noticed?
Talk to me.
We've got some sound.
Did you see what I wrote?
Thumbs.
Did you see what thumbs. I wrote?
No
you see,
kidding.
We had sound, so I put sound on there, and I ignored the just kidding because I'm like, I'm going to go be petty today.
All right. Do me a favor. Play the ID. We're going to go over 11 here because I want to do the sound now.
You're listening to Kentucky Anna's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh, and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfort.
All right, play the music. Raising Cane's time.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's Tuesday, everyone. And I just wanted to say thanks to the Raising Cane's team for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville Studios today. So game plan ahead with the Raising Cane's mobile app or by ordering at RaisingCane's.com. And you'll be able to snag the perfect game time watch meal. Don't call a timeout. Make the right play and score some hot, fresh, hand-battered chicken fingers from Raising Cane's. One love. Multiple area locations. Order online at RaisingCane's.com. That's how you do that.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
All right, so I was there on Sunday. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Prime and I started another diet yesterday. And so she just brought me a cup of coffee and she's shaking her head. So we said, all right, Sunday night.
Death now, taxes, you know, and a diet with Sherry.
Yeah, that's right. What do we want to, you know, kind of like a last meal before going to the guillotine? And we got Raising Cane and it was delicious.
It is very good.
I don't know what they do, but I mean, to me, it's the best fast food chicken out there.
And like,
that's unsolicited.
And like the bread, I don't know how they do it, but they make it perfectly toasted with, like, while still being super soft.
Mm.
Like,
no, it's a good meal.
And I'm very picky with my bread, so
bread picky.
Yeah, right. I am.
End of the game, San Diego State. Go ahead.
No, plus I like customer service. Customer service it's gone away. There is no such thing as customer service anymore. I pulled up there Sunday night, And there must have been 12 cars in line for the drive-through. And I mean, it zipped through. There was no way. I mean, you could barely put the car in park, and it was time to move up another length. They did a great job. All right, that's enough for them.
So I was there on Sunday, and of course the game was very meh, but the ending was very interesting. And of course, part of that was the foul call at the end of the game. It was something that had happened 1,000 times during the game, and they did not call it, and they call it with a second left. Here's Jay Billis yesterday with Bobby V on that call.
The officials that called that game, they would tell you, well, yesterday we called one and the game was in the 90s. And we called a bunch of fouls. And all these games are different. You go, yeah, but you can't, like, to me, you don't go, you don't stand by the side of the road as a police officer and somebody drives 75 miles in a 60 zone. You go, well, but that's just the way they drive. well, that's the way San Diego State plays. No, they're either fouls or they're not. And so if you're going to call that foul there, I could have pointed to 20 other fouls that didn't get called in that game.
So Bob was very the opposite of Jay Billis yesterday. So the two of them, do you side with Bob or do you side with Billis on that one?
No, I side with Billis. Yeah. We said it yesterday, Louie. It was a foul. And the fact that some people think the ball wasn't going to go in the basket anyway, it doesn't matter. It was a foul. But that's the problem, is the inconsistency. Right. And Billis is absolutely right. There were 20 calls like that didn't get a whistle blown. And then all of a sudden, with 1.2 seconds left, they call it. So, no, Billis is right.
All right. Well, I agree with you. So, there you go. Shorter segment than I thought, first hour of the show. Brought to you by Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. Texter, Louie, you seduce us into calm and peace right before we're disturbed by True Crime Tuesday. Well played, sir. We will have True Crime Tuesday at 11:30. We'll do that coming up. Billis also talked about Coach Cal and his trends coming up. And, of course, we have to talk about Lamar Jackson. We'll do it next here on ESPN 680, 105.7.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it,"
but then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist,"
or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.